Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, episode 52. I'm Michelle Molloy-Dillon.
And I'm David Langiuli. And Michelle, we have a special guest today with us, Lavinia Boxill from Rutgers University. And Lavinia is the Vice Chancellor of Advancement for Rutgers, the New Brunswick campus. And she is on the leadership team for the foundation. And she's a good friend and colleague. And welcome, Lavinia.
Thank you, David and Michelle. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. So you wrote a fantastic blog post recently for Fundraising Leadership about vulnerability. And this is such a huge topic.
I don't want to talk about it. No way, man. We're shutting this down right now. We are not going to be vulnerable today. No way.
So vulnerability, why vulnerability? What got you interested in that?
It's something I've been thinking about for a few years. And what I put in the article is really true. I have, had conversations with my therapist, with my family, with other people, like, yeah, I don't like that. It gives me a stomach ache. That is not something that I like to do. And I think as people and as humans, we come up with our own confines as to what something means. And I, through various sources, including coaching and work I've done with you guys and others, realize that this is not a big scary thing. This is something that's with us every day. And we can acknowledge it, or we can have it as like a little, ghost on our shoulder that we're trying to avoid. Mm-hmm. And when I really thought about the work I do in fundraising and the work that I enjoy the most in my job, I'm a leader, I'm a member of a cabinet and other things, which I love. But when I'm in that zone of genius with my donors, it's such a pure space. And when I sat back and thought about it, I thought, that's because I let it in. I'm not worried about it in that moment. I'm with that person. I'm engaging in something and there's a purity to it. And I thought, gosh, this word, this state of being that I've been so worried about for so many years is always right there. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Well, you shared in the blog post, which is up on the Fundraising Leadership site, and we'll link to it from the show notes. You shared a couple of stories, from sort of your early days as a fundraiser, mm-hmm. and then a more recent experience with that you've had. And without diving too deep, I mean, the folks can read about it, but I'm curious about what the more mature Lavinia has to say to the younger Lavinia, or even some of the younger folks you work with about being vulnerable. Yeah.
I've thought about that when I was writing the blog, because I interact with the fundraisers on my team. If I hear them in my suite or outside my door, I'll call them in and I'll have a question, and I enjoy strategizing with them on donor things, or I'll read a contact report of theirs and I'll have a thought, because I've been at my institution for a long time. And I always preface it with, this is, I just want to put this idea out there if it's helpful to you. But I find that in talking to them, it reminds me of my younger self. Mm-hmm. Because I'll say, hey, I wanted to talk to you about John and Jane Doe. I saw that you did X, Y, and Z. And they're like, yes. And then I did this. And then I did this. And I did this. And it's like, yeah, that's great. That was great. I love what you did there. I just had a thought, and in some ways I don't have the answers, but I see the years of my institution, the mistakes I've made, the paths I've gone down, to be able to say to them and help them think to the next level. Have you thought about this? Or maybe go think about this and figure out how that might work for your school or unit, or talk it over with your dean. But I see that they're that anxious young fundraiser and they're like, yep. And I did this, and I crossed all my T's, and I did all my good work.
Yeah.
Yeah. There can be a huge weight around trying not to be vulnerable or showing that we've done the right work or we're doing it well enough.
You know how to do it.
Yeah, you know how to do it. Yeah.
Like the doing of fundraising. See, vulnerability is a way, you don't do vulnerability. You be vulnerable.
You are vulnerable, right?
And what happens is I think the doing of fundraising is one of those shields. Like Brené Brown talks about perfectionism being the 30-ton shield. But doing is another kind of shield. Like, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and then I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do this and that and that, and then I'm going to do this, and then I don't have to be vulnerable.
Right. And truth be told, to be very good fundraisers, we have to sit in quiet space and think. We have to create time to strategize and think. And what I'm just trying to give them is a little nugget or a little something to take back on and then put into their larger plan for the prospect. Because there's the science, right? There's the science that says we have to get all our questions answered before we go to the next step, or we need to know this, this, and this about someone. But then there's the art of thinking of them as a person and really tuning into the fact that they didn't tell me this is important, but I think it is important. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to maybe reach out and share something with them at a sequence to see if the donor thinks this is important, or I'll just ask them if this is important, or I'll pick up the phone and say, you know, I forgot to ask you a question when we were together. Would this be important to you? Yeah. Or would this be a good next step?
I'm curious, Lavinia, you know, you're sharing how vulnerability, and especially in the article, you were sharing how when interacting with donors, it can be very helpful to just share what's going on with you, even when you're with a donor, or you might not understand something, and being able to say that. But I'm curious how this, we have a lot of leaders who are members of the fundraising leadership community, and they're managing teams as you are, and I'm curious how this is showing up for you on the leadership team. But hint, you're going to have to be vulnerable.
Yeah. Well, I was like, you know, how much time do you have? A few years ago, I went through three personal tragedies, very, very close to one another. And they involve my parents and their health. And for years in preparation, I thought, okay, you know, I'm gonna be ready for these moments. I'm gonna be okay, and I'm gonna think about my thoughts on the afterlife, have conversations with them, all these things, right? And then these things happened, and my job was wonderful and gave me the space I needed. But the other incredible thing, and it was such a lesson to me, is the not appreciating to the degree until this happened of the camaraderie and trust and vulnerability that we had created within my immediate team. Mm-hmm. We have radical candor. You know, it's we've worked on this for a long time. And I would come into work, and they would literally, I'd walk in, I'd sit at my desk, and they'd come in and say, how are you doing? And I'd say, I'm good. And they would literally look at me and say,
Nope.
What can I, you know, we get that you need to be here. Mm-hmm. What can I take off your plate? And letting them, because I could feel it in my bones, right? Brené, you talk about this and the other books have been shaken off. I can feel that tension in my bones where I am not a good person to say, help.
Yeah.
I'm just not good at that. That's also vulnerability on a different level. And this was a beautiful moment where I was able to let them do that. And then likewise, I think it's made me a better leader because I can walk in and look at their faces and say, okay, what's going on? You don't have to give me the whole story, but what can I take off your plate?
Yeah. Well, it can really be such a key to creating trust with a group, right? Is having that ability to admit that actually there's a lot going on right now and you're not all here.
Yep.
And it can create a sense of trust and with other people who are willing to help, they get to step in and help. Mm-hmm. And that can give them a very important role mm-hmm. as well. Yeah, and I've worked with teams where the culture of the team is very much like, we've got this, we're gonna get through, like we know what's going on, we're all responsible. And all it takes is one person to sort of crack on that team and admit that actually they don't have it all going on, they don't have it all handled, mm-hmm. and there's some big stuff happening. And you can just see the shoulders of everyone in the team just sort of drop, like, okay, mm-hmm. we all get to be human here. Mm-hmm. And how can I help you? Because mm-hmm. tomorrow it might be me.
And it allows the members of that team to step up in different ways. I remember when, I think it was when my father passed away, and I was supposed to travel with the chancellor, who was a new chancellor and very high functioning, detail oriented, all this. And they tell me the story afterwards. They're like, well, you know, what are we going to do? And someone was like, you're going with the chancellor. You're going with, the, you know, and like, I am like, yes, you know, you have the leader, you have the processor, you have the person to, you know, letting that team, that's intimacy too. And that's mm-hmm. vulnerability mm-hmm. and letting people be there for you mm-hmm. is, it's amazing. It's amazing in all those different roles. It's amazing being the person who can do it. And it's amazing being the person that the team is doing it for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just want to acknowledge you, Lavinia. You and I have had several conversations about this topic of vulnerability, and I feel that your modeling it is helping me bring more of myself out into the world and be more vulnerable. And I know with your own team at Rutgers, it's having a big impact. And I also know that on the senior leadership team, it's they're having an impact. So a positive impact, I should say. So I want to acknowledge you for the courage. It does require summoning up courage to reveal things that you might not otherwise reveal because you want to stay safe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, David. But I do think it's important. I think if you're really going to be, it's helped me find that genius spot and be able to acknowledge that and be able to appreciate when I'm in that zone, and also be able to leave at the end of the day and be like, it was a good day. Mm-hmm. It helps you appreciate the work that you do and the interactions you have, I think. And yeah. We're in a people business.
Yeah, well, I want to distinguish for the audience like this. You mentioned the zone of genius a few times, and folks may not be too familiar with it, but, you know, we sort of have our areas of incompetence. There's just things we're not good at, and mm-hmm. then we have things we're competent at, but, okay, we can get the job done, but someone looking at it wouldn't call it excellent. So then there are things we do that where we're excellent. You know, you could look at fundraisers and you could just see that they are really excellent at what they do. And then there's this zone of genius where not only are you competent and excellent, but you derive great joy mm. from being in that zone. And mm-hmm. that's what I'm hearing you say is when yep. you start to be vulnerable and you're also in your zone of excellence and competence, that you flourish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It feeds my soul in a really good way. It does. Right.
Well, you had to give, and we're asking you to give the audience something to try. What would you give them, like, to help practice this?
Well, I thought about that, and this might seem mundane, but it's not. Because I think if the audience thought, well, I don't know the last time I did that. I would say in the next conversation you're having with, it could be your academic leader, it could be a donor, it could be a staff member you supervise, it could be your administrative boss. We all go into meetings, we have agendas, we all, just like everyone else, I like to be prepared, I like to have it all. But take a moment at some point in there and realize that maybe your mind has wandered, maybe you're thinking about something at home or something, your next appointment, etc. And really try it out by saying, I'm sorry, I think I got lost for a second there, or I got distracted. Could we go back to that topic? I would like to fully understand the point you were making, because I think it's important to us moving forward. And I think it'd be really interesting to see the reaction of the person on the other side of the table. I suspect they're going to sit up a little straighter and be like, I'm glad you asked.
Well, and I'm smiling really big right now as you're, you know, putting forth this challenge to our audience, because how many times, like, are we in a discussion or in a meeting where our brain really does step out for a minute and take a vacation? And then just all of the effort that it takes for me to, like, catch up in that conversation and pretend that I know what was being said, and then say something intelligent next.
Yeah.
Like that ability to say, wait a minute, I just took a little mini vacation, can you say that again? Actually gets me out of doing all of that work and lets other people know, oh, I'm human.
And I want, and I value what you're saying.
And I value what you're saying.
It's important to the relationship, business, personal, otherwise, that we're having.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's wonderful.
It does require, it is vulnerable. It does require that you share. Like, I just checked out. I'm sorry. I was paying attention, and then all of a sudden, ice cream sundae flashed across my mind. Not that what you're saying isn't as good as an ice cream sundae, because you could you please go back?
Yes, yes.
You guys can tell I'm hungry right now.
I see that.
For ice cream.
Yeah. Well, that's a great challenge. Yeah. Give that a try, folks.
Yeah. So thank you, Lavinia, for being with us here today. And please subscribe if you haven't already to our podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Now go put it into practice.
Excellent. Thank you both.